keep it real simple, keep it real simple. Bring everything right back to ground zero. Cause it all comes down to this. Love God and love people. We live in a world that keeps breaking. But if we wanna find a way to change it, it all comes down to this. Love God and love people.
Church, let me hear you this morning. Come on. Hey, listen, man, we are so, so thankful that you are here in the room with us this morning. It's always good to see y'all. Thanks for making it a part of your week. And also for all those watching online, thank you for joining us. We started with just one song. We're going to come back and end with another song, so be patient. But let's give it up for that band one more time. Give them a little love. Sammy singing today. Awesome. And Ben's birthday on bass guitar, play his birthday today, man. That's awesome. So we love you, man. Remember, we have a pre-show from 9 to 9:30. Send in your virtual lobby good mornings, happy birthdays, whatever it is. We'd love to feature you in the pre-show. We appreciate our guest Chris Sopp being on there this morning as well. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being a part of the Simple Church and all of the great people who make it possible. So I want to tell you, as I wrap up the Peace Series, I'm blown away by all of the emails, the text. So many people were so complimentary of last week's message that I don't think, I mean, this would be a bold statement. In 14 years, though, it might be the most I've ever received. So if you haven't watched it, you can go on YouTube and you can watch it, or you can go to our app, download that, and you can kind of catch up. But it was pretty crazy because I didn't really think as I was creating it that it would strike such a chord with so many people, but obviously it did. And I want to read one of the emails because, to me, I emailed him back and said, hey, is it okay if I read this? He's like, absolutely. If it helps somebody else, then please read it. It just says this, I've begun to think about my life and all the choices I've made. And as I've dug into this thought, all the memories and the things that have replayed in my life, I've come to realize that I have not had peace largely because I've always been searching for my peace of the argument, my piece of the persuasion, my piece of the pie, etc. Many times, I've only listened to people to form a rebuttal or a strong reply instead of just listening to hear what's being said and then working towards peace among us. That happened at work, it's happened with my friends, it's happened with strangers, and it's happened with my family. And sadly, my wife and kids have had to experience that from me as well. I'm not a lawyer arguing a case or a high school or college debate team trying to take the prize. Never have been, but many times and way too often, I lived like I was in a debate. He just ends by saying, thank you for challenging all of us through your message, giving strong examples of ways that we all can do better. And agents of peace is what we're called to be in these crazy, turbulent, socially and politically charged world. Our country needs peace, more togetherness to move forward. And that needs to start, in my opinion, with the church. And more importantly, with me. Thank you for what you've done. This is just one example. And the reason I wanted to focus on that is because as we wrap up this series, I know that there are a lot of people that struggle with peace. And as I've said throughout this entire series, I struggle with it as well. I was just joking on the pre-show with my wife, Angie. I'm putting peace symbols. I have some peace fingers all through my house now. I have one in the bathroom. I have one in the living room. And Angie's like, man, why are you putting all these up? I'm like, well, because I need to be reminded where I am and whatever I'm going through to really be working on this. And maybe as we wrap up, this question should be the next part of us diving in and kind of wrapping this series up. Why in the world is living in peace such a struggle? And why can't I find it on a daily basis? If you were to look at all of the emails, you could see in the text and all these different struggles of people walking through life. They're going, man, this is really difficult for me. Well, as I sat back and thought about why. Why can't I live at peace on a daily basis? Why can't I live in this peace? And some of you would say, well, dummy, it's because every day stuff keeps happening. I mean, it ain't easy. Like, you have a goal, you're trying to spend time with God, you're trying to be at peace, and then something happens. And you can just forget about the news for a minute. I'm talking about just life happens. So, for example, this past week, for many of you guys that don't know, I asked Brian if I could share this, and he was like, absolutely. So we've been going around the business, and everything's all good. And then Brian comes in and calls and says, hey, man, I think I got COVID. We're like, what, Brian? He's like, yep, I'm not going to be able to be there. So about 10 days, we're without Brian Reed. Heard multiple people the same kind of situation. It may be a health issue. It may be a sickness issue. I got prayer request after prayer request of people struggling through different things that they're going through. There's still financial trouble. You know how that is. I mean, you're still trying to recover. You're still trying to walk through life and make it. And every day you think you're getting a little ahead, it seems like something else happens. Well, this is the kind of big thought for today, the first part. What I am learning, and I am trying my best to grab a hold of, is peace is not found in the absence of problems. Problems are not going to go away. I think that's what every one of us wish would happen. If it's individual, private, business, you're like, I just wish all this stuff would go away. But as you are well aware, all you have to do is turn on the news and you will see images like this that it's flaring back up again. And everybody's frustrated and mad and they just don't need to do this and they need to do that. Then if you are probably aware, if you're in any kind of the money markets, you will see that this week this happened as well. The Dow tumbled down, so it was like, man, you got health concerns. Here we are with money. Now, personally, back in my life, neither one of those things really were getting me this week. I kind of knew, and I'm all right. I'm getting through, other than the Brian situation. I'm like, it's hitting close to home again. As I said last week, this is what got me. This is what it looks like when our dog got bit by a snake, just so you know. So our dogs, this is not our dog. This is just an example, because when they get bit by a snake, it's pretty complicated. So we live out in the country, and our weasels run around wild, and whether it be a copperhead or whatever it is, something always pops them, and then we come in and throw a couple of Benadryl in and try to work through the night again, and I'm thinking, this does not give me peace. This does not make it easy, because these problems keep arising. Health, financial, life issues. So then the second part of the talk today is problems aren't going to disappear. I am also learning that true peace is found when we can reside in the presence of God. Now you go, boy, that sounds churchy. Well, it is a little churchy and it sounds a little weird, but I'm going to try to make it a little easy for you. What do I mean exactly? Well, if you look into the Old Testament, which is a fascinating book when you look in Isaiah, you got to remember this is written a long, long time ago. And Isaiah wrote this down for his people, which also applies to us. You will keep in perfect peace. Now, I don't know if you have peace or not, but we're striving for the best, perfect peace, all who trust in God. Isaiah, for you guys that don't know the history or what's going on, he is writing in a time of fear and, believe it or not, political crisis. They did not know who to trust. They did not know who their allies were. They didn't know if they were being honest. They didn't know what the future of Israel was going to be. And as they're writing all of this out, he comes out as a prophet and says to them, let me tell you, regardless of what other political parties do, regardless of what your finances look like or the circumstances may look like, I'm telling you, perfect peace is available even in your problems when you trust him. And then look how he ends this. Isaiah 26:3 continues, and whose thoughts are fixed on you. So this is once again a common theme throughout Scripture that I personally struggle with. I get fixated on other thoughts. I let my mind, if you go back to the first week of this series, that's what we talked about a little bit, is how you can get something in your mind and it starts playing, and the next thing you know, it can take you down a road that does not lead to peace. It leads to anxiety. And you begin to stress out. You begin to worry about it. So as I wrote down all of these thoughts and working through this message again, here is the thoughts that I would love for you to process today. Who are you trusting today? And what is your mind fixed on? If you were to really take an inventory and go, man, I don't trust anyone. There's another series that I'm going to work on that I'm in the process. I've had the thought and I'm putting down some early notes to begin to work on it. I've referenced it in another couple of messages. Now, I believe that the enemy's ultimate plan is to get you to trust no one. Trust no one. And in America, you see it pretty obvious. Don't trust the doctors. Don't trust your school officials. Don't trust the police. Don't trust your preachers. Don't trust anyone. Don't trust your political figures. Trust no one. And as a result, it begins to cause you to question even your trust in God. Because you go, well, if God's in control, why did the stock market fall? So then you keep your eyes fixated on the stock market going, all right, God, what's going to happen here? What's my future? What's my retirement? How am I going to make it? And then for others, it's, no, I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to, man, if we just get the right political party in, then I'll fixate on that, and I'll focus on that, and then I begin to trust. If we can just get this person or that person to act right or do right, and then you start going down that rank, that little road. You can look at your bank account. Some of us are fixated every day. You're checking. What am I at? It's maybe causing some tension with your spouse. Going, what'd you spend this on? You know we need to be careful. Why'd you do this? And there, once again, no trust. It could be your favorite TV station. You fixate on it, whether it's CNN or Fox or whatever it is, and you begin to think about it, and you begin to trust. That's the only true source. And so the next thing you know, you begin to let your mind and your energy go into fixating on the wrong thing. I can relate to that. For others, it's not any of those things. It's that when you go to the gym, you see that cute girl, and you fixate on her. Now, that's another picture I can't put on the screen, all right? But whatever it is, we all have this temptation to go there, to fixate our thoughts and our energy on things that we shouldn't. And it leads to not peace, but chaos. Now, one of the other issues that I found myself struggling with, and I hear a lot of other people, even in the emails and the texts I receive, is that people also have a tendency not to trust God, but to begin to fixate on what not is wrong, but what could go wrong. So even if it starts going pretty well and things are leading in the right direction, you begin to think, yeah, but, I mean, this could happen, and that could go wrong, and this could be a bad scenario. For my family, we're getting ready to go on vacation, all right? And we're planning everything and putting all this stuff together. And this is the truth. When Brian Reed came in the office and he said, hey, man, he called us. I was around him the whole day hanging out with him. He comes in and he goes, hey, man, I got bad news. I got COVID. I tested positive. All I could think was, there goes that money right out the window. I'm not going to be able to go. It's going to get me. It could happen. Now, thank you, Jesus. So far, that hadn't been the case. Been plenty of days now. Probably not going to happen. But in my mind, I kept thinking of what could happen. So as I'm getting ready for vacation, I'm thinking, well, this could happen. We could have our flight delayed. I told somebody we're flying out, and they're like, oh, you're flying? Oh, man, flights are horrible. You could really go down. That was very peaceful. Thank you for that encouragement. I felt so good. You know how it is, right? And then your thoughts begin to fixate on, this is not going to go well. Oh, my God. You could even have something fun planned. You could just go, man, we're going to go, and we're going to Vegas. For you guys that don't know, our family's never been there. We're going to drive the Grand Canyon. Kids hadn't seen it. And I was thinking, my kids are excited because there's different things to do there too. You know, not all about gambling, you know. There's also some fun things. We've taken seniors there on senior trip before, and there's some amusement park and some little rides and stuff. And I started thinking, man, this could be fun. And then I started thinking, I don't know. Somebody said, did you see this video this week? Did you know what happened? I'm like, what are you talking about? Be careful. This could happen to you. You're out there. Be careful. You've probably seen it, but watch. Could happen. How did that bird survive? I mean, the funniest part is, if you didn't catch it, the little girl, like, she'd be on your left. She's cussing like a sailor, all right? Which I can relate. She don't even know the bird hit her friend. The one that the bird hit, she's cool as a kid, just like, oh my God. But he was like in. He had tucked his head in, son. And I'm thinking, all right, man, that could happen. All right, it could happen. So where do we go today, and how do we navigate this? When we don't know exactly what's going to happen, Philippians 4, 8 through 9 again, let's look at it. Just a reminder. Fill your minds with these things that are good, things that are true, things that are pure, lovely, and honorable. So here's my challenge. You're 3 weeks into peace. Are you still filling your minds with things that are good, honorable? I mean, things that are true, pure, lovely? Because I can tell you, it's a daily challenge for me. And the reason I want to put it on the screen and remind you again is because your children, your coworkers, and as I was aggravated last week, the world is watching Christians. So when we act rude, which I can do, not peaceful, which I can be there, I could walk through all of the things that I don't do right. I realize very quickly that the world is watching. And they're saying, hey, if this is so real for you, if this is so good for you, then you should be more like this. But unfortunately, we find ourselves back in that vicious cycle of being negative, not thinking about the right things, treating people bad. So then I thought this week, Justin, are you modeling this for your kids? And then I started looking around and thinking, who is teaching me this? Well, as I thought about my kids, to lighten it up a little bit, I realized that I was on pre-show talking just a couple of minutes ago about there was an empty milk jug in my refrigerator. Does anybody know how frustrating that is? So I accused my wife, and she said, I use Karima in her coffee. I was like, my bad. No peace in my house because I wanted to kick every child out of my house. When I'm going, how dumb are you when you will put an empty milk can back in milk jug back into the refrigerator? And then I thought, the truth is, am I modeling for them everything right? The right way to respond, the right way to act? And I'm telling you, I'm not. I'm working on it. But the goal is for us as parents or as Christians in the community, at your workplaces, that they could learn from you. Now, as you all know, I love pulling funny videos together and showing you different things. And I thought about as a dad, you know, all of the times I've made mistakes. And thank God no one saw them, recorded them, said something about them. Only my family really knows. They're like, oh gosh, he's a long way from it, right? Well, I pulled this video together just to make you have a laugh because there's a purpose to it, and I'll show it after the message in this scripture. But watch this. This is some dad videos that are not necessarily modeling the right thing. Watch.
What do you think?
Scary because it's coming right at us. Go.
Oh,
Daddy, you're gonna flip the whole table.
I guess when you go on the patio for a minute and your daughter doesn't have a swimming pool, this is what she does. What are you doing? You know, that's the dog's water bowl.
Look at that face. All I thought was like, okay, we've all made mistakes. We've all not modeled the right thing to do. I have been there, all right? So here is the reason I chose that video. If someone's looking at you, if someone's learning from you, whether it's your kids, coworker, friends, or whatever, look what Philippians says, 4:8-9. Put into practice what you learned and received from me. Did you hear the guy cussing on this little side falling down? Y'all know I'm the cussing pastor. That's not a good thing. So it's like, here's the thing. Put into practice. I've already heard my kids cussing more than they probably should. It's on me. My bad. All right. But here's the reason why. Because they've heard me. Put into practice what you've learned and received from me, both from my words and my actions. So if you think about peace in your home, if you think about anxiety, people say all the time, stress is high. I showed you in the first couple of weeks all the statistics. Teenagers are anxious more than ever. Do you think maybe they're learning from us? Do you think maybe they're looking at you and going, boy, you don't seem to be at calm. You sure don't seem to be trusting God. You sure don't seem to be at peace. Your words are just great. Or they hear you cussing, fussing, throwing fits, and doing everything else. Because the reason this is so important, put into practice what you learn and receive from me, my words and my actions, because there's a promise attached to it. Look at this promise. You ready? And then he continues, and the God who gives us peace will be with you. So it's like when you've put that into practice, it's like, man, God promises, New Testament promise, that he's going to be there with us. He's going to walk with us through it. Now, you probably, if you don't know anything about Scripture, when you see stuff like Philippians 4, you're like, who wrote this and where's this coming from? This is written by a guy by the name of Paul. And let me just explain this. If anybody knows problems and the lack of them disappearing, it would be Paul. He had tons. I'm going to burn through this pretty quickly because as I show you, as he was writing to the church in Corinth, which is 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, those are letters written to a church, he is explaining all that he's been through. For example, all right, he's talking about peace, but then it goes, go to the next screen. I've been jailed more often, beaten up more times I can count. Death's door, time after time, it continues. I've been flogged, Jewish 39 lessons, beaten by Romans with rods, pummeled with rocks once. He was stoned once. Been shipwrecked 3 times, immersed in the open sea for a day and a night. Had to travel hard all year. Everybody that travels, this guy's traveling year in, year out. I've had to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends, struggle with foes. I've been at risk in the city. I've been at risk in the country. And he's just getting started. I've been endangered by the desert sun and the sea storm. I've been betrayed by those I thought were my brothers. I've known drudgery. I've known hard labor. Many a long and lonely night without sleep. Many a missed meal, blasted by the cold, naked to the weather. He's going on. And then he ends with really the thing that really gets us all. And that's not the half of it. When you throw in the daily pressures and the anxiety of church. Amen. Remember, he had floggings, beating, shipwreck, and then he's like, oh yeah, in church. Whew, that's the real kicker, right? Well, why does he say all this? It's because he's saying, I know that the peace of God, it's not about having an absence of problems. It is about experiencing God's presence as I navigate this. They get it. They reveal the struggle. So many times when you read scripture, you're like, oh, that's all. No, it's the struggle. It's the difficulty. It's the adversity. It's like, hey, let me show you. Let me walk with you through this. Let me help you navigate everything that's going on so you can make sense of it. Because you're not alone when you think, man, I got so many problems, there's so many struggles, there's so many things that I don't know how I'm going to get there. How can I have peace possibly? Paul's going, let me tell you how. You will eventually learn to trust him. You will eventually learn prayerfully to fill your mind and fixate on what he says and the truth of who he is, as opposed to going down this road of fixating on the bad, of what could happen, filling your mind and your thoughts with all this bad language and all the different things that happen. He's like, no, man, we got to start changing all that. Now, when I look in the scripture, there's another example of this where there is a great reminder that the writers of the scriptures were real people like you and me. And when you see that they're writing this stuff down, it's because they're tripping on it just like we would be. Mark chapter 4, this is Mark's example. He's writing this stuff down. He says, a very bad wind came up on the lake. The waves were coming over the sides of the boat, and it was almost full of water. So I don't know if you've ever been on the water. I don't know if you like the water. I personally love the water. I love being on a boat. And you, when you see that there is water coming into your boat at a rate that you cannot bail it out, or the bilge pump will not keep, you know, keep up with it, it's troublesome. Now, this is thousands of years ago. So you can imagine they don't have any modern technology. They're in the worst storm that could possibly happen. And it comes up out of nowhere, and I've been there, man. I've been on the lake before. We've been skiing, and all of a sudden you look up, and here comes a storm out of nowhere, and everybody's like, hurry, hurry, hurry. This was next level, a very bad. He's like trying to write that. No, this was not like just a little storm. This was the worst of the worst. So as he's writing all this out, the water's filling up, you know, filling in the boat. They look around, and this is what happened. Jesus was inside the boat. You ready for this? Sleeping with his head on a pillow. He wrote that down like, that dude had a pillow. I mean, we're drowning, and he is chilling on a pillow. The followers went and woke him up because they're looking at him and going, are you kidding me? I mean, are you absolutely kidding me? As they're going on, they went and woke him up. Next slide. Teacher, this is us. This is me and you. You got a storm in your life. Something's raging. It's out of control. You're trying to manage work, home, crisis, health, whatever it is. Teacher, don't you care about us? I mean, come on, God. Really? We're going to go through another COVID uptake? You don't care about us, God? Really? Seriously? You just going to let us drown? My business can't handle another bad year. Do you know what's going on in my life? Do you have a clue? I can't handle this marriage problem. This is my second marriage. This is my third marriage. And I'm drowning here. This is not going well. Do you not care that I'm in this trouble? You could go through addiction. You could go through health crisis. I looked at the prayer request this morning, and I'm telling you, man, there's more people with serious stuff going on than ever. And this is what the disciples, when they saw this storm coming up, and they see Jesus just, he's on my pillow just... And they're going, don't you care? I mean, don't you care? You just going to let us do this? Well, there's two storms raging in these guys and in me and you. There's a storm that's on the inside that no one can see. When you're going through the worst of the worst, you can put on a front, you can act like everything's all right, but you know on the inside, dude, you are tripping. There is no peace. There is no comfort. There is no, I'm going to get through this, dude. You're tripping every day. You can't sleep. You worry. You're full of stress. You can't eat. And then there's the outside storms that everybody sees. And they're going, man, how are you making it through that? How are you going to get through this? This is the same thing going on for these guys. And when we're in those circumstances, you and I both know this comes up. Jesus, don't you care? Do you love me? I mean, why would you let me continue to go through all this? Well, what I am learning and what I am trying to teach you and trying to show you and walk through my weaknesses and my shortcomings to say, I'm believing and I am seeing that he can handle both the inside and the outside. You go, Justin, well, how do you know that? Because I begin to focus on what I know to be true, what I know to be pure and lovely. And I find that in these stories about men that were just like me and you. Because this is what Mark wrote down next. Because then Jesus arose. See, this is the whole thing. And then he got up. It would be worse if he's just like, and we could not wake Jesus up. He was in such a deep sleep that the alarm didn't work. He just said, no, I ain't getting up. I had a rough night. I ain't getting up. No, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace, be still. The truth is, for you and I, we're so busy, we're so chaotic, we're flooded with information, we're flooded with anxiety, we're flooded with stories. You have more available to you than any other generation, and it stresses you out. And Jesus stands in and says, hey, listen, I see the storm, I know what's going on, I am awake, and I am telling you, I have the power to say, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a what? A great calm. Don't you want it? Like, yeah, I want that. I want that. Here's what it says. Here's what Mark said. Because Mark experienced it. And then he says, and then Jesus turns to us and he asks us, you ready? Why were you afraid? I mean, do you have any faith? Do you remember when we started? This message was about, do you trust him? To find peace, it is about trust. And so Jesus is like going, hey, I'm in the boat with you. Do you trust me? Why are you afraid? Do you have any faith? And here's something else I wrote down in my notes, kind of working through that I'm learning. You ready? You cannot speak what you do not have. Jesus woke up, stood up, and said, peace be still, because he had it. The reason it's hard for you to speak it is because you're still searching for it. Some of you are going, well, Justin, great. I know I don't have it. That's why I'm here. Good news. You can have it. John, another writer of walking with Jesus, says this. Are you ready? As a reminder to all of us, I'm leaving you with a gift. This is Jesus. Are you ready for this? John's writing now what Jesus is saying. I'm leaving with a gift, peace of mind and heart. Jesus says, I'm going to give you a gift. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. I wonder how many times he talked about this. When did Jesus say this? I mean, if this is John writing it down, do you have any idea? The night before he was crucified. Think about that. John is going, hey, man, I remember right before he went to the cross, Jesus looked at us and said, hey, I want y'all to receive the gift of a peaceful mind. Why? Because you're fixing to go through a storm. It ain't going to make any sense. I don't want you to be troubled or afraid because I'm still in control. Trust me. Before his suffering, he knew what was going to happen. He knows about problems. He knows about your problems, and he gives us peace. So I'm going to remind you what I started with. You ready? Peace isn't found in the absence of problems. Peace is found in the presence of God. So do you have it in your life? I mean, if you were to take a little calm inventory right now, you're in the middle of a storm, financial, relational, health. Have you experienced his peace? Because John continues to write in chapter 14. Jesus turned back to his disciples and said this. I'm going to ask the Father, God, to send you something. Oh, not just something, someone. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who will help you and always be with you. So let me give you a little bit of perspective here. When you say, I can't get it, I'll never be at peace, you don't understand what I'm going through, you have to know that Jesus said to John, to Mark, to Luke, was written down and given to them who all were in the middle of problems as well after Jesus died and rose again. They had a lot of stuff still going down, but he said, let me tell you how y'all are going to make it. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and me, because then it continues on. It says this, always there to help you. It will show you what is true. You know when you're struggling, you're going, I just don't know if this is right or not. The Holy Spirit promises, God promises to speak inside of you. Go, you know that's true. Test it against my word. Test it against who I am. You know I will show you. The people of this world cannot accept the Spirit because they don't see or so they don't know him. But you believer, you know the Spirit because he's with you and will keep on living inside of you. This is why, as a believer, I hear the Holy Spirit speak to me, and sometimes I choose to ignore it. Don't judge me. Other times I choose to act on it, and every time I act on it, God blesses me in some way, or with peace, with comfort, with encouragement. But when I ignore it, man, I always seem to get back in trouble again. And then Philippians, Paul comes back and he's right. He's like, let me tell you another side of it. Because you belong to Christ Jesus, because you've prayed the prayer, because you've asked Christ to come in your life, because you're committed to saying, you know what? It ain't about church. It's not about religion. It's like, man, Jesus, I want you. God will bless you with peace that no one can completely understand. And this peace will control the way you think and the way you feel. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to remind you what Isaiah said. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. Perfect peace. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm fixing to try to help you out. I'm going to try to give you about another 3 minutes or so just to kind of go, all right, Lord, here's my chance. Before we get out of this series and you get back in the chaos that's outside those doors, right into the world and everything that's going on, maybe you just need to be still for a minute. Maybe you just need to talk to him and say, all right, Lord, I need you. If you're at home, maybe you can just sit down, turn up the volume on the TV in just a minute. If you're driving down the road, you can say, all right, God, speak to me, help me. Because what we're about to do is go into a song, but I want you to understand the concept of the song. And it's not me explaining it, it's the person who wrote the song. Because what you'll see in her story, because she wrote it with a co-writer, is they were not at a place of peace. And so they were making a declaration. So when I talk about a song or I play a song, sometimes like this opening is just to have fun, man. It's just kind of, hey, it's a love revolution. Let's go, don't be reminded. Then other times, it is a worshipful, reflecting moment that you have to choose to be in. Sometimes it doesn't matter. It's fun. Let's have a good time. Man, we're just kind of getting things kicked off. Other times it's like, all right, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. Help me. And the Holy Spirit works in both. He doesn't have to have music to work, although when I grew up in band stuff, I was like, play Shout to the Lord and the Lord will come in like a rushing wind. Because that was a big song. Every time we went somewhere, they're like, play Shout to the Lord, Shout to the Lord. It's a big song at one time. Let me give you good news. The Holy Spirit's beyond time. It's beyond songs. And he can use anything and everything to go, hey, I got you. I need you. Give me your attention. Let me encourage you. Let me help you. Because that Holy Spirit is the same as Jesus himself. And he'll be with you today. He will be with you tomorrow. He promises never to leave you nor forsake you, no matter what you're going through. So peace is not about the absence of problems. It's about, God, we need your presence. So before we play the song and set the video up, I want to pray for you. Father, as we listen to Hope tell us why she wrote the song, I pray that it would speak to somebody in the audience today. God, as they listen to the words, that they would be reminded that you love them, that you care for them, and that you want to be with them. And all they have to do is cry out to you. And whenever those disciples woke you up, they were like, Lord, we're going to drown. There's somebody in this room, there's somebody watching today that feels the same way. I pray you would encourage them and remind them you woke up for them today too. And you're asking them is, do you want to trust me today? And maybe today, in the midst of whatever they're going through, would be the day that they say, Jesus, I surrender to you. I trust you, and I want you to come into my life. And you promise us that the Holy Spirit will come in. Man, it don't matter if you're Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, whatever you are. The Scripture is clear. The Holy Spirit will come in and invade our lives and give us the peace that we so desperately long for and need and want. And as we have that, God, I pray we would set the example for our family, for our kids, for this world, no matter what is thrown at us. Peace is not the absence of problems, but it is your presence in our life. Come into our lives, God. Change us. Speak to us. Peace, be still. Amen. Watch.
And I'm really excited that today we get to share with you my song, Peace Be Still. A song that's really been special to me and carried me through a lot of seasons of life. When we wrote this song, I was dealing with fear and I was dealing with anxiety and insecurity, and my co-writer Mia Fields was dealing with disappointment. And the day that we sat down to write it, we didn't feel peace, and so we decided to write a song about the peace of God, and that the promise of peace is actually something that He speaks over us. And we chose that day to move in the opposite spirit, to actually declare what we didn't feel until something shifted in our minds and in our hearts. And I pray for everyone that hears this song, when they sing along or they hear it, that they actually feel the peace of God released over their minds and over their hearts, because God is really clear that those whose mind is steadfast on Him, He'll keep in perfect peace. Those who trust in the Lord will have a perfect peace. And that's my prayer for you, and that's my prayer that this song would remind you that He speaks peace over you.
I sing this song to all of us today, and to myself first. I don't want to be afraid every time I face the waves. I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to be afraid. And I don't want to fear the storm just because I hear it roar. I don't want to fear the storm. I don't want to fear the storm. I'm not gonna be afraid, 'cause these waves are only waves. I'm not gonna be afraid. No, I'm not gonna be afraid. And I'm not gonna fear the storm. You are greater than its roar. No, I'm not gonna fear the storm. Let faith rise up, oh heart, believe. Let faith rise up in me. Let faith rise up, oh heart, believe. Let faith rise up in me.
Go, Sam. Hey, listen, I hope that as you're getting ready to walk out of here, you can feel that love. And this band's doing all they can to reveal that to you. I know Christy, we were talking this week, she was like, it's kind of heavy, man. She is a COVID survivor. Can you give her a little love today? Because, man, I'm telling you, she's in the hospital a long time, man. She's in the hospital a long time. So to have the vocals and the strength to be able to do that, it means the world to us. So thank you, Christy. And, of course, the band, we appreciate all that they do to make it happen. I pray for you to have peace as you go out today. And if you need a reminder like I do, there are shirts available in the lobby with a little peace symbol on them. There are little things out there to remind you. All of the proceeds, I remind you, go back into helping people in this community experience that peace as well. I got to brag on you on Providence House. You knocked it out of the park. You guys did an amazing job. And because we have about 4 minutes before we go to break, I figure you ought to see exactly what you did on Mother's Day. When you brought on all those shoes in, if you missed the pre-show, you need to see this video right here because it is a reminder of the peace that we can give people in our community because of your giving, because of your support. Watch this video and I'll close this out. See you in a minute.
Last week, we partnered with the staff and residents of Providence House to love on moms and their children who are working so hard to break the cycle of homelessness. It was a beautiful night to remind moms that no one can fill their shoes. We were so grateful for the dinner that was provided by our friends at Bojack's and the chef's table. One of the moms even shared with us that she hadn't sat in a restaurant in 6 to 7 years. Great conversations were shared and so much hope was given. After dinner, the moms got to shop at our pop-up shoe boutique and finish the night with dessert. Every pair of shoes was provided by you, Simple Church. All those shoes given on Mother's Day were shared with moms in our community. Thank you to all who gave the shoes and to everyone who volunteered to serve. When we do good together, we really can transform our community.
Come on, y'all. Give yourselves a little love right there. providing peace to women right here at Providence House. Thank y'all for helping us make that happen. And one last quick announcement as you go out, you can mark your calendar. If you are someone that is still waiting to be vaccinated, August 22nd, we're going to do it right next door. It is not saying you have to. It is just one of those personal choice things. But the people in the community have reached out to us, LSU, Ochsner's, all the doctors, and they'd love to provide that for you on August 22nd. So between now and then, if you have a question that you're still a little nervous about, that email us, let us know so that we can help answer that over the weeks leading up to it, so that we can, again, help you make the best decisions moving forward for you and your family. We're just so thankful that you are here. We're thankful that you're a part of it. I pray that you have a great week and that you'll go out there and buy some shirts and do some good. So until then, what do we say, everybody? Peace. Thanks for coming, y'all.